the Super Bowl is in the books. The team that beat the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship game had an opportunity to win the Super Bowl in dramatic fashion and saw it disappear on a late interception. We'll talk about the game and some Packers football with former Green Bay wide receiver Andre Thurman here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Stone, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking about the Super Bowl yesterday as well. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning. We're joined by Arizona native and resident Andre Thurman, former Packers wide receiver, who I didn't get a chance to see last week at the site of the Super Bowl, so I wanted to make up for it. How you doing this morning, Andre?
Oh, I'm doing well, Brian. How you doing?
Very good. Glad to talk to you again. We had you on a few months ago before the season, so it's kind of good to get you back on for a season wrap-up. We got to talk about the Super Bowl here just last night. Let's start with what I thought was to be an injustice. In my opinion, I thought Patriots cornerback Malcolm Butler deserved to be the Super Bowl MVP instead of Tom Brady. Your thoughts on that?
I'd have to agree. And you know what? I think Tom Brady would agree. He gave Malcolm a lot of praise at the end of the game. And that says a lot, you know, with his resume. But it was a heck of a play.
Yeah, it just was perhaps one of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history. I know he's not the name guy there, this undrafted rookie from West Alabama, but I certainly thought he had a heck of a play. And that's not to diminish what Tom Brady has done over the course of his career. In fact, Andre, is Tom Brady one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history now after winning his fourth Super Bowl and being the MVP in three of them?
I would have to put him in the top three. I mean, he's poised. He's played well in big games. He's played well of a long course of a career, and he's done it consistently with or without weapons, and that's I think he's the overturn of everything. Man, he's done it with guys, and you see guys that come play with Tom Brady and, you know, they come and have 60 or 70 catches and they go to another team and they're just not the same. So, and that speaks high presidents of Tom Brady. He's a great leader. He demands a lot. So I would put him right there in the top three. I like Joe Montana, but I'd put him right there along with Tom Brady right there. Those guys shooting one and two.
Yeah, they're the guys right.
That I've seen, admire.
Yeah, I agree right with you there. Interesting here, so Andre, when you're in Green Bay in 2004, 2005, you're around while Darrell Bevell is the team's quarterbacks coach. So you're familiar with the current Seahawks offensive coordinator. We actually published a feature here at Cheesehead TV on Bevell prior to the Super Bowl. But anyway, he's kind of under scrutiny today for the Seahawks' final play on offense, choosing to throw the ball instead of run. Should the Seahawks have run Marshawn Lynch on second and goal there at the end?
To be honest with you, I say yes. I mean, I would give Marshawn Lynch the ball, but that doesn't go off of one play. And I know I'm very familiar with Coach Bevell. That doesn't go on one play. We all have to execute the one play. He called the one play, and not to put anything on anybody, but the ball wasn't thrown exactly well. So, but if I were to go back and just put it all on me personally, I would definitely just run the ball. You'd probably get two more runs if I didn't get in the first time. So you have
Yeah, because they have all their timeouts.
You got it. They have some momentum, and you got the best running back in pretty much in the game right now as far as short yardage situation goes. So it's a play that, you know, you don't second guess as far as the play calling goes. But if you're asking me, should they run the ball? Had they had run the ball? Yes, they should have run the ball.
Do you think Daryl Bevel will be a head coach in the NFL someday?
I think so. He's a great coach. He's at the time where he was in Green Bay, when I was in Green Bay, he was a quarterback coach. And
How well did you know him?
He's a Phoenix. He's a Phoenix grad. His family's yes. He has a lot of family tie here in the Phoenix area. He's known me pretty much since my high school career. I've even gotten to talk to him since he's been in Seattle when I was playing in the UFL. So I know him pretty well. I think that he will get a job at a head coach. I think that he's putting guys in a position, and he's transitioning to this whole pistol system very well, I think, which is going to be a lot more common in the NFL. We kind of get to run and throw in quarterbacks more and more. He's adjusted well. So I think it's going to be a need for that. And I think he works well with all players. I think he can work well with all players, which, you know, oversees where he can be a head coach. So I definitely think it's in the future for him.
We're talking to former Packers wide receiver Andre Thurman here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Andre, let's talk about this current Packers team here for a bit. Your former teammate Aaron Rodgers named the NFL MVP this past weekend. If you had a vote, would you have given Rodgers the MVP award?
I think I predicted that at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
I think that was one of my predictions when we talked a while ago. That I think I closed in on something where the Packers were 11-5, and it's unfortunate because I felt like, you know, obviously me personally should have represented the NFC. But no question about it. I think no question about it. Aaron Rodgers should have been MVP. J.J. Watt with the close second. And I think DeMarco Murray played well. I think he played well, mm-hmm. the number three spot. So I think Aaron Rodgers did well. I think for what he was asked to do, the responsibilities he was asked to do, between the touchdown and turnover ratio, it's just remarkable. And my throwing interception at home, that's remarkable. Caused some late injuries down the stretch. He played well, very consistent. Was basically Aaron Rodgers. He did what he was. What's expected is. It's funny because its expectations are so high, but honestly, out of all the quarterbacks now, you had Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. No disregard to any of those other quarterbacks, but Andrew Luck, maybe besides Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers, he's still getting better. Mm-hmm. So and that's the scary part. So I think he could put these numbers up for a while, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years now.
Yeah.
So.
As a wide receiver, I'm curious about your thoughts on Randall Cobb. Here's a guy that had a great year, and now he's set to become a free agent. Do you think there's any way the Packers let him get away?
You know, and this is the trendy part about receivers where I guess I disregard, because nowadays we figure we're go-to receivers, they're a certain size. And you want to pay the big receivers who can play on the outside, the big money.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, you know, the guys who work the middle, okay, the Donald Drivers, the Randall Cobbs, the mm-hmm. Wes Walkers, these guys are just as important as the big play, you know, big play receivers, okay? And Randall Cobbs fits that mold. And he's even more of a mold because he's kick return, he's a punt return, he can run the ball. He's a different asset. So it's hard for me to see him letting him go. I think you have a good nucleus with Lacey, Cobb, Aaron Rodgers, and of course Jordy Nelson. I think you have a great foundation there, and I think it's kind of hard to break that up. I think you can kind of fill some other voids, but again, you know, it's hard nowadays to keep two good receivers. You know, it's hard to do that. So I guess we'll see how it plays. But he'll be a tough replacement because now that, you know, the slot position is all a field position. And once you kind of master it, you know, you don't want to let it go. It's a great field. So we'll see how it goes. I think he was a vital key. It's all about him staying healthy.
Yeah, that's for sure. You were a kick returner as well, so it would be interesting to get your thoughts on Packers special teams. They just fired coordinator Sean Slocum this past Friday. I don't know how much you know the current staff in Green Bay, but do you think that's an area that needs to be improved?
I think each year you try to go in finding, you know, what area you can improve on the most. And I think if any, when you talk about the three teams, offense, defense, and special teams, I think if any, which one had to be the most improved, you're probably looking at that area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, It's tough, man. It's a business. I know how the game works. You know how the game works, man. It's a business where, you know, if something happens, it almost has to fall on someone, you know. And, you look and you say, well, you know, the guy made a mistake. Well, who's it on? Was he not prepared? So you kind of falls back on the coach, which, I mean, like I said, it's a business. It's a tough job, but, you know, it's a worthy job. So, it comes with responsibility. So you look in that area, I think special teams is something that you work, and I think that you can always get better on defense. I think you can always get better on defense as far as run stopping the ball. I think there's some areas where I think the Green Bay Packers need to get better in the whole 4 minutes, stop the run, you know, third and one, third and two, those short-term areas right there, I think those will be vital too as well.
Yeah, they're going to be going after a linebacker, I bet, this off season somehow, draft, free agency, whatever.
No.
Andre,
no question.
I know during the Super Bowl, your Thermonetics company was busy capitalizing on the big event in town in Phoenix. You hosted a golf tournament. How did that go over?
It went well. We had donated, I would say, about 800 to 1,000 cans to the Tolleson School funding. We had a ton of current football players coming out. We had Lance Briggs, Marquise Flowers, and then we had a couple ex-Cardinal players come out. Frank Sanders, he was well. Cedric Sabalas, a couple guys, local guys. It was a great turnout, great event. Great for the charity, my ThermU charity. We're starting here in August. Going to have four football teams, like I mentioned earlier. So it was a great turnout, great event. We're looking for next year's turnout. I think we had about 16 sponsors come out. We had some fun at certain holes. We had a beer pong at one hole. So it was fun, man. We had a great time. We had a really good time.
And you can.
I'm sorry, Brian, to cut you off, but you can check it out on YouTube at Thermonetics charity golf event.
Okay.
It's a great event. Great event. Hosted by my also good friend Jackie Pepper, who's a sports writer.
Very cool. Very cool. Glad that went over well for you. How about yourself? Is the Arena League thing still going for you?
Brian, you know what, man? I'm 34 years old. Okay, I've been hopping along, and I love the game, man. And so, I look past the NFL, and I've had my share and had my run, and I'm great to play. And you know, if I get back, hey, I get back. But I know that's a small to slim chance. Okay, but I love being around the game, man. I love the game. I'm not ready to coach. You know, I I would love to work my third year organization, but I've got one more year. I'm signed in Cleveland. I'm going to the Gladiators and Arena Football. So, the team that won the Eastern Conference Championship last year. So, I'm going to try to bring my old new legs back into Cleveland, man, and see what we can do. It's great, man, because it's shorter distance. So I don't have to run as long. You got a shorter field, 50-yard field. So I don't have to go, you know, I don't have to 80-yard kick returns and 90-yard kick returns. So I'm anxious to get back on the field.
That's got to start pretty quick, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. We start training camps March 4th.
Okay.
Training camp is March 4th. So I'll be, if not the oldest receiver in the league, I think I'm the second oldest in the league.
Awesome.
So, I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I think I still got some juice in the tank. So, but this is Brian. This is my last year, buddy.
Okay,
this is it, man. I got one more year, and I'm calling it quits.
Well, I wish you all the best of luck. Hope you can finish it off with a championship. I think that would be a great way to finish it all.
We hope for the
best, Andre. Thank you for joining us this morning, talking some Super Bowl, talking some Packers. It's great talking to you, and wish Thermonetics all the best as well.
Hey, Brian, good talking to you too, man. Thanks for having me on. Keep in touch, and, good luck.
Sounds good, Andre. Take care.
Okay, buddy. All right, Brian.
We'll see you. Andre Thurman. Former Packers wide receiver joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Monday morning, checking out the Super Bowl kind of in review here. Unfortunate the Green Bay Packers did not take part, but in a small way, I was actually cheering for the Seahawks. I don't know, ever since going back to when I was a child, the Seahawks were always my second favorite team. I mean, there's appropriately here a Grand Canyon distance between my favorite and my second favorite. But for some reason, going way back to childhood, I was always a Seahawks fan, I guess. And but in a small way, I still was like, okay, now you know how it feels for Seahawks fans to be so close to winning a championship here yesterday, and then snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, as it were. So a little bit of revenge, I guess. I don't know what to call it, but. Anyway, it was an exciting game. I had a lot of fun watching the game last night. I mean, just for it to come down to that at the end was incredible. And really, I do think it's an injustice that Malcolm Butler was not named the Super Bowl MVP. And yeah, I know he's not like the name brand kind of guy, but man, he makes like the biggest play in Super Bowl history. My goodness, give that guy the MVP. Tom Brady threw two interceptions yesterday. He doesn't deserve it. I mean, Tom Brady did fine, and he was a big part of it as well, throwing touchdown passes. But man, Malcolm Butler coming into that game, that he made such a great break on the ball. And not just breaking it up, intercepting it, and really, I mean, we can sit here and discuss should they have run the ball, Marshawn Lynch, whatever. I mean, if that pass is just incomplete, Seattle still has a chance then to still score with two more plays and all their timeouts left. You would have think at some point they would have got in the end zone. But yeah, Malcolm Butler, Super Bowl MVP, in my opinion, that's what it should have been. But anyway, that is over. The 2014 NFL season is over. And now we look ahead, and now it's time for
Packers News of the Day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers on a Monday, in addition to Aaron Rodgers being named NFL MVP this weekend, the other big news on Saturday night was that Ron Wolf was voted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the architect of Super Bowl 31 for the Green Bay Packers, their former general manager, the man who signed Reggie White in free agency, traded for Brett Favre. He is the 23rd member of the Green Bay Packers that will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. So congratulations to Ron Wolf. That's great. And I happened to, of course, you know, I was in Phoenix last week for the week of the Super Bowl. I'm just a peon. I don't get to go to the game, unfortunately. I just get to cover the events leading up to the Super Bowl, media day, the press conferences, stuff like that. And I actually had a brief opportunity to talk to former Packers quarterbacks coach Steve Mariucci, of course, now an analyst at the NFL Network and a former head coach in the NFL as well. Just had a chance to talk to Steve Mariucci about the legacy of Ron Wolf, and he kind of spoke in hypothetical terms here just to set up the interview. I got a sound bite here. About what it's like to be hired in the NFL, whether a team is looking for a coach or a general manager. But here's some comments from Steve Mariucci on Ron Wolf that I just wanted to share, putting his NFL owner cap on, or his hiring cap on. Here's Steve Mariucci.
You hire somebody that came from that scheme on either side of the ball, or same with Ron Wolf. I want somebody that has learned from Ron Wolf's system of drafting and evaluating and that kind of organizing. So you got all those guys, you got six or eight of those general managers that came from that system. So a lot of it has to do with we came from a successful system.
Yeah, and that's Steve Mariucci talking about his time in Green Bay and the culture that's been created and how Ron Wolf is such a big part of that. And, he's talking about, other general managers in the NFL that have kind of come from his branch of the tree, and the list is growing exponentially here all the time. Of course, it is, the guy who's currently the general manager in Green Bay, Ted Thompson, the guy who just won the Super Bowl last year and was in the Super Bowl this year, John Schneider out in Seattle. You've got Reggie McKenzie out in Oakland, John Dorsey in Kansas City, the guy who was just named general manager of Washington, Scott McLuhan, former Packers scout. So, I mean, there's all these guys who worked under Ron Wolf, and now you're starting to understand, like, his impact in Green Bay, although it was just one Super Bowl, did appear in two. He's mentored quite a few guys, made quite a big few big decisions, and his imprint on the NFL lasts until this day. So again, congratulations to Ron Wolf. Very deserving, very cool to see him get in, and that just happening, coming down the pike on Saturday night at the NFL Honors Banquet, in which it was also learned, Aaron Rodgers was named the MVP, beats out J.J. Watt. Congratulations to Aaron Rodgers. Very deserving honor. I do think he was the MVP. It really, I never thought about it too critically, not having a vote. I do think J.J. Watt had one heck of a season. And if there's, any guy who deserves it as a defensive player, it's probably him. But to sit here and think about what Aaron Rodgers did during the 2014 season, I kind of go back in my mind and think about some of these moments that he's had. And think about week six in Miami on the road, and they have the comeback, in which, the game winning touchdown occurs with just 3 seconds left on the clock. Aaron Rodgers throws a strike to Andrew Corliss for the game winning score, set up by the fake spike to a touchdown to rookie Davante Adams, the trust that Rodgers placed in Adams to, make that play and put the ball in his hands and get the first down to set it up. Remarkable. In fact, a play in which was voted the NFL's Never Say Never moment of the year. That happening just last week as well, learning that happened. So that's really cool that 2 years in a row the Packers have won the never say no, never moment of the year, and Aaron Rodgers, of course, a big part of that. Very much Aaron Rodgers with becoming with a flair of the dramatic here. In 2014, it was the play to beat the Chicago Bears, you know, with just a few minutes left in the game. Long touchdown pass to Randall Cobb. Packers win the division, beat the Chicago Bears, win the NFC North, spot secure in the playoffs, all that was a really cool play. So now second year in a row they win that. But getting back to Aaron Rodgers' 2014 season, think about the six touchdown passes he had in the first half against the Chicago Bears. The first half. You know, you're sitting there watching that game, and they eventually take Aaron Rodgers out. They didn't even need him the majority of the second half. You shudder to wonder to think what he could have accomplished had they kept him in the game. And then you talk about this year's regular season finale against the Detroit Lions. Aaron Rodgers aggravates that calf injury, comes out of the game, comes back after halftime, in which they actually lose the lead, and he's got to make the comeback and helps them lead them to a victory there, leads them to a victory in the divisional round of the playoffs, a near victory in the NFC Championship. But, I mean, add it all up, quite the season from Aaron Rodgers, his second MVP award, only the eighth player in the NFL, or is it eight others in the NFL that have won the award multiple times? I forget off the top of my head. Regardless, he joins a very elite group of guys who have won it multiple times. And now Green Bay quarterbacks in total have won the MVP award six times. Brett Favre three times. Aaron Rodgers twice, along with Bart Starr winning it. How lucky our Packers fans to have that kind of legacy in Green Bay at the quarterback position, the most important position on the field, at least the way the NFL is structured nowadays. So congratulations to Aaron Rodgers. All those things happening over the past week since our last episode of Railbird Central. I know it's been a while here as in Arizona. I haven't had a chance to have a show since then. But anyway, so what go, you know, Super Bowl's over, what happens from here?
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, on a Monday, the new waiver system begins for 2015. The system doesn't change. I should just say the waiver order starts on Monday. Just like the NFL draft, the Packers are now 30th on the waiver wire in the priority system, with only the Seahawks and the Patriots later on. If the Packers happen to make any waiver claims starting today, 29 other teams in the NFL now get priority over the Packers. It's official. The only teams they, you know, get priority ahead of were the two teams in the Super Bowl. So that starts on Monday. Not to say there's going to be a waiver claim on Monday, but that's kind of the new thing that happens today in the world of the NFL, in the post-Super Bowl world. Obviously, the news cycle slows down quite a bit, but that starts starting today on Monday, and that's about the only thing going on today. But just in case there's any waiver claims, you now know the Packers pretty far down the pecking order, pretty far down the totem pole. They're not going to have much of a chance. I had looked it up right before the show just to refresh my memory. The last time the Packers made a waiver claim wasn't that long ago, actually. They made one back in training camp before this prior season. They claimed Gerard Shepard off waivers from the Baltimore Ravens, who had cut him during training camp. If you remember back at the time, the Packers had a couple injuries at the wide receiver position. They need a little help there. They end up cutting the guy, you know, eventually later on. But, you know, it happens. You know, the Packers have made several waiver claims over the years. You know, the prior season, 2013 season, they claim wide receiver Chris Harper off waivers. He actually spends the season with them. In 2010, of course, the huge waiver wire pickup of Howard Green, during the Super Bowl season, and he ends up having a big impact with the Packers, helping him win a Super Bowl championship. So they can play a part. This whole waiver wire thing can play a part, a big part in a possible Super Bowl championship, as the Packers have learned in the past. So, not saying that's going to happen today, but it starts today, and that's about all we got in the world of the Green Bay Packers. It's glad to be back, folks, here at Cheesehead TV, hosting Railbird Central after a week off. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday. I already got a guest lined up. Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports going to join us on the show. Excited to have him, talk to him. I had a chance to talk to him out in Arizona while covering the press conferences at the Super Bowl. We've talked to him in the past on the show. I think we had him on one other time. But he's a great football mind, real nice guy, and excited to have on the show. And we'll talk to him about the Super Bowl and where the Packers are headed here in 2015. So looking forward to getting back on the horse here at Railbird Central and keeping it going at Cheesehead TV. So that'll do it for today's episode, folks. Hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl. Hope you had a good weekend. It's Groundhog's Day. The groundhog saw its shadow. Sorry. 6 more weeks of winter, unfortunately. It kind of feels like it here in Wisconsin, where I am. Not that it was actually nice out in Arizona. I was disappointed in the weather out there. I was out there for 5 days. It rained for like 3 of them. Where it never rains out in the desert. Actually had some rather poor weather out there, albeit much warmer than here in Wisconsin. In fact, coming full circle here, the weather out here was atrocious yesterday and really cold today. So I'm not looking forward to 6 more weeks of winter. Anyway, we'll see you later, folks. Have a good day. We'll see you on Wednesday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. On behalf of everybody here at Cheesehead TV, we'll see you. I leave you today with a song called Liquid by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go. We'll be right back.